Hi, this is Kara from the Pure Rock Shop, and you're listening to 91.7 FM WNJR Washington and Pittsburgh, and online at WNJR.org. We have Chris Caffrey on the line today to discuss Spirits of Fire and their debut release. Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Kara. How are you today?
I'm good. You know, you've been telling me about this project for a while, so I was excited to finally get to hear the whole album.
No, exactly. It's been a... it took a little, not necessarily longer than most records that I do, but everybody had so many different things going on, so it just took a little bit of time for everybody to get to what it was they had to do.
Yeah. Well, so tell us what originally prompted you to work with Ripper.
Well, I mean, I've known Ripper for a very long time. I actually met him on, I think it was the Wake and Magellan press tour. Me and Johnny Lee were in Europe at a convention in Cologne, and I met Ripper when he was doing his press for the very first Priest thing that he had done, and I got to say hi to him. We just became friends throughout the years, and I went to see Priest all the time, but then we eventually wound up opening for Priest with Sabotage, and then I wound up playing on one of Ripper's solo records and doing a tour with him as his guitar player when Ripper's solo band opened up for Heaven and Hell on Ronnie Dio's last tour. So we've just been really close friends for a long time, and he's one of those guys I always wanted to do an album with. So Frontiers, you know, oddly enough, made a call to me going, you know, hey, would you want to do a record with Ripper? Because I guess they just thought that, you know, in their minds that would be a really good combination, and, you know, it just happened to be one of the things that I really wanted to do, and he was one of my really good friends. So the whole thing came together around their call, and they, you know, had the rhythm section put together, which to me was very exciting because I never worked with either of those two guys, but, you know, I was very familiar with their work, and then also with Roy Z because he just had done so many amazing metal records, and he was another person that I never had a chance to work with, but this was one of the opportunities coming, so everything kind of just came into place all at once for me to work with, you know, these amazing different musicians and be able to do a record with one of my really good friends.
Cool. So how did you guys decide on a name for the band?
Well, we didn't have one, and Frontiers was like, well, what do you guys want to call the band? And nobody really had any ideas, and they said, well, sometimes we use, you know, the name of one of the songs. So I just read through the songs, and I really didn't see any of the other names of those that I thought would be a great band name, and we just, you know, I said, well, the only one I really think would work would be Spirits of Fire, and everybody seemed to have agreed with that decision, you know, and I had written that song, and I actually liked the fact that it was used because, you know, the fire spirit happens to be the most powerful of all the good spirits. So when people tried to get, you know, the bad and evil spirits away, they would eventually call them fire spirits to have them get rid of them because they were stronger than them, and that's what I loved about it. You know, it's a positive name, and it's a very cool image, and I just think it's something that you know, happened to be pretty metal, so it worked well as a band name. I thought it was cool.
Cool. So how did you guys approach writing for this album, you know, to give the band its own unique sound?
Well, I mean, the original idea was to, you know, have that was going to be able to do, be like right away the bands of the bands that we had played, and I just started writing. I wrote probably 14 songs that were my ideas, and, you know, 8 of them had wound up onto the record, but I was just trying to write things that were, you know, going to be fun to listen to, that were going to be able to be liked by the fans, but also that had, you know, their own kind of personality. So I think that's what I went for the most on what I was doing.
Okay. So I know Frontiers has taken a lot of heat recently, criticism for putting together supergroups that are never going to tour. Will there be any opportunities for fans to see this band live?
Well, that's what we would like to do. I mean, obviously everybody has their moments in the years where they're busy, but I mean, we would love to play, and that's going to be, I think, pretty much something that's going to be determined by what the fans think about it. You know, if the record gets out there and everybody likes it and wants to see us and the opportunities come, I think that is something that we definitely would love to do, and I think it'd be great with us because, you know, we could do a 10-song set that, you know, holds six of our songs, but also would be able to have a song from everybody's, you know, projects and bands of their past. And
sure.
I think it would be a fun set and a great band to watch. I mean, Rippers is a brilliant live vocalist, and mm-hmm. everybody else in this band's got a lot of legs and a lot of experience on the road. So I think it would be a very fun band to watch live.
Cool. So, well, I know we'll at least locally get a chance to see Ripper. He'll be here with the Three Tremors on March 11th at the Craft House here in Pittsburgh. So, I saw that you guys were having some issues with the pledge campaign for the album. Can you fill us in on that?
Yeah, it's just funny. It's like we were about a month away from the release of the record, and the last thing I really expected to happen was going to be something like that. I mean, I'd never worked with the pledge thing in the past, and I just saw it, and at first I thought, hey, it seems like a cool way for the people to be able to sell their music, you know, which is the mm-hmm. it seemed like a cool outlet. And I guess they're not doing their end of the deal as far as getting people's money back to them, and you know, I didn't really know what the story was until somebody had sent me an email to say, hey, did you see what Danny Vaughn had said? And I watched Danny's video, and I emailed Frontiers, and I guess, you know, they were already making the decision to make the move away from that company as the distributor. So I really don't know exactly where everything's going to be going officially from there, if there's another place, because like it's all happened so quickly. I know Frontiers is making whatever they can available through their store.
Okay.
And it's just right now, you know, it's, like I said, it's a little bump in the road, but I'm sure everything's going to get placed in the right place, and everybody's going to be able to get what they get.
Okay, so right now, would you direct fans to Frontiers if they're looking to get a physical copy?
Yeah, there's, you know, but that's, like I said, that's the advanced copy for these vinyls and the
sure.
And the special little box set. I mean, the regular copies of the record will be able to be purchased through Amazon. I mean, I know they have it there, but we'll just see what happens as far as where these other individual ones, if there's a different way to make them available here. I know now that the Frontier store is being able to ship them. I just know that they have to ship them over from Europe. So, you know, I was ready to tell them just to send the box of them to my house and sign them and write about myself. I don't care. I mean, at least people can get a signature on them and I can make sure they get where they're going.
Right.
But let's see what they have to say about everything that's happening. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm busy working, but I could spend a couple of days going to the post office. That wouldn't kill me.
Okay. Well, so what other projects do you have coming up? I know the last time we talked, you mentioned Dr. Butcher. Any updates there?
Well, we're still trying to work on getting that 25th anniversary release of the original record out this year, because this year is the 25th anniversary. I mean, I know John's working on his own solo stuff now. I might be doing some call it solos on a solo. So
okay.
He was talking to me about doing that, and I'm going to actually start writing for the next Spirits of Fire record, and then, you know, continue to work with my Hot Sauce and my art for my, you know, my children's clothing company and the whole metal vent thing. And there's actually another project that I might be, you know, actually not a project, it's more or less just a vocalist from a really cool and well-known band that everybody had known from the 80s and 90s that I might be doing a record with and some dates by the end of the year, but I'm still waiting for all that to develop, so I'll have a little bit more news on that as time goes on. There's always things going on, but it's going to happen. I'll blink my eyes and it'll be October and I'll be back in GSO rehearsal, so that's how the year goes. I mean, all of a sudden now it's going to be February, you know, it's like
right.
you just watch time fly by, and it, like I said, it doesn't take very long for those next 9 months to head out of the way and for us to start playing again.
Sure. Well, I do have a TSO question for you. I talked to Zach back in December and about how cool it was to see you guys do Chance live. Do you think that there's any possibility that we could see some more Sabotage songs creep into the set?
You know, that's something I believe could happen. I mean, that decision will be made by, you know, by Paul's family, and they really loved how everybody reacted to seeing Chance. I mean, our thing with this now is we just want to do whatever we can to keep Paul's legacy alive. So whatever songs they feel are going to be the right ones for us to play, and what John, you know, maybe decide to speak to everybody about, and you know, the TSO family, that'd be fine. I mean, there are a lot
of songs in that Sabotage catalog that have that TSO, you know, theatrical and
sure.
musical emotion and level to them. So because they were written by Paul and John, and you know, there were records too that we had. Some of them we did have the story, so there are moments and things that we could do that could really fit in with that, because we've been doing those songs in TSO sets for a while. You know, we
yeah.
had Believe in there, and we had Chance on the spring tour, so it's not, this wasn't the first time that song had even made it to a TSO show. And we had Gutter Ballet and the European tours that we've done. We played Gutter, and
mm-hmm.
we played some of the other stuff. So, I mean, we're not definitely not going to be at a point where you wouldn't see that stuff again, because that's all, you know, part of the work that Paula did. So that stuff can wind up, I'd imagine, anywhere at any time. It's just going to be, you know, what everybody decides to be the ones they want to have in the set.
Okay. Well, so is there anything else we haven't covered?
Right now, no. I mean, like I said, I just hope they get that pledge thing settled out. I mean, most of the people that have their purchases should be able to get their money back. I mean, luckily we're at a time and age where if you make a credit card purchase and something goes wrong with it, you're pretty well protected through most any credit card company to turn around and get what you had if that company's not going to do the right thing and get everybody's money back right away. So to me, it's more or less like kind of a hassle than anything. I mean, I never bought a record in advance when I was a kid. I always bought the record when the record came out. So we'll just try to figure out a way to get everybody to it. The advantage of buying it in advance is that people should be holding that special record in their hands when the date of the release is, and now it's just a matter of trying to figure out a way, especially for the people that have to order them here in the States, to make sure that people can hold on to them on February 22nd. But I'm going to speak to Frontiers and see where they're at with it. And like I said, I would get to the point, it's not a million copies that were available through that company, I would get to the point where if I had to, I would take those things here and just go through, you know, the outlets that I use to send out hot sauce to make sure those things go out. I mean, we send out tens of thousands of bottles of hot sauce, and this is only, you know, it's a way smaller amount to get out of these records. So I can figure out a way to get stuff sent out if I really need to.
All righty. Well, thanks for joining us today, Chris, on 91.7 FM, WNJR, Washington, Pittsburgh. It's been great chatting with you, as always.
You too, and have a great weekend, and I don't know what kind of weather you're going to get the next day. We're getting a different year every day here in New York. It's zero, then it's 55, then it keeps circling around in weirdness. So just be safe, and we'll talk to you next time.
Okay, thanks. Goodbye.
Thank you.